Crossroad International Church podcast. We're so glad you joined us. It is our prayer that God will use this message to bring comfort to those who are hurting, give hope to those who find themselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation, and to encourage the one who is struggling through a difficult season of life. For more sermon audio, resources, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit cickuwait.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Bible to the book of Exodus. Today is going to be it's just going to be an overview. It's going to be an introduction. The title of my message is An Introduction to the Attributes of God. I worked on that title for a while, but I thought it was pretty creative. So we're going to look at just an introduction. And, you know, as I was going through this, and I had to go through all the attributes, just kind of was overviewing them, and I've been studying some of them already, getting ahead, but I realized that we don't really, a lot of times, I don't think, spend enough time focusing in on just who God is. If you look at all the Bible studies and all the studies out there, all the books, and I read these books too, and there's nothing wrong with these books. I mean, there's a lot of good books out there that are helpful. But typically, when we get a book and we read it, and it's kind of, you know, helping us with an aspect, it's typically about the Christian life, how we do something, how we forgive, you know, how we pray more. We have all these things, and again, these things are good. But let me explain something to you. If your focus or the image that you have of who God is not solidified and clear in your mind, all of those other things are a waste of time, if I can say that. Because this is the starting point, okay? This is the starting point. When you think of who God is, how you answer that question is very important. And so that's why we're doing this series. That's why we're going to spend time focusing in on who God is, because we know that this is essential to your walk here on earth as a believer. So there's three books I want to mention just off the go here. If you're taking notes, three books. The first one is called The Attributes of God, all right, by an author by the name of A.W. Pink. There's another book called Knowing God by J.I. Packer. And then there's a third book called The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. These are three books. If you want to do some digging on your own deeper, these are three really good books. Most of these books are very well known amongst the Christian world because they are so foundational to our faith. And I'm going to be pulling some from the third book I mentioned by Tozer today during my message. So going back to this question, what comes into your mind when you think about who God is? Now, I'm not talking about sharing your faith with somebody. I'm not talking about, what's in your mind? Is it a God with, you know, throwing lightning bolts? Is it a God like a ant bully with a magnifying glass on the earth and, you know, smiting who he will? Is it just a casual God that's kicked back with his feet up? I mean, what picture do you have in your mind when you think about who God is? It is critical, and how you answer that is the absolute most important thing about us and our walk with God. Do you understand how important this question is? Have I established that with you? This is critical. A.W. Tozer, in his book that I mentioned, Knowledge of the Holy, he says this. He says, the history of mankind will probably show that no people has ever risen above its religion, and man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. Worship is pure or inferior as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. What is that saying? It's saying when we worship, how we worship is going to be directly influenced by the image we have of who God is. I say this often from the front because it's been like heavy on my heart for the past few months, but that we handle things that are holy, a holy God, and being in his presence as if it were something that's just an everyday flippant thing, like you'd handle, you know, a piece of a knife in the kitchen or just something that you pick up every day, a piece of paper. But God is holy. God is holy. And while Jesus has come and made a way and we have the right to come into the presence of God, do not ever forget that God of the Old Testament is the same God that's in the New Testament throughout the Bible. That's the same God we're dealing with. The only difference is we have Jesus Christ. That's the only difference. And so we come oftentimes, and even today, like while we're singing, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but was your mind really on God? Because of who you are, I give you glory. Were you really giving him glory during that song? Were you really worshiping? Or are you thinking about, you know, the chocolate muffins in the room next door or what you got to do this afternoon? I mean, we serve a holy, almighty, powerful God. We need to worship him. Priests used to spend all this time preparing in the Old Testament to be able to go into the presence of God. You know why? Because if they weren't in the right place and they didn't sacrifice things properly, they would be struck dead on the spot. How can we ever worship in the purest sense if we have never truly taken the time to fully understand the image of who God really is? I remember when I was in Bible college, it was a very interesting time. Isaac was just newly born, pretty recent, and Leanna was pregnant again, okay? So she had four months? How old was he when he got pregnant? Yeah, we tried to block it out of our mind because it took us a long time to get pregnant with Isaac, and then it was really strange how the second one just sort of, I don't know, just got in line behind him. And so Noah was right there. So it was a hard time. I was going to Bible college full-time, plus working two or three jobs. One of my great jobs that I have was delivering lost luggage for the airline company. In Minnesota. Couldn't afford to get snow tires for my car, so it proved to be some interesting trips, to just put it that way. But one of the trips I had, so it was in my own car, and so I had all this lost luggage piled up in my car. You know, I would get paid for each stop I could make. So you're trying to go as quick as you can. So I'm trying to find this house, or you know, to deliver this lost luggage. And so I pull up to what I thought was the house, and so I knock on the door, this guy comes out, and I'm unloading this luggage for this guy, right? You know, and I'm like, yeah, because I just want to get this done and move forward. About halfway through the exchange, and it was a younger, he's probably maybe 18 or 19. Halfway through the exchange, the guy's mom comes out. You know, and I'd asked him, I said, this is you? He said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so his mom comes out, and she's like, no, he's like, what are you doing? She starts yelling at him. So I'm in this awkward, you know, exchange between mom and son. She's yelling at her son because basically he's lying about who he is to get the luggage. I'm at the wrong house. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I worked for FedEx for a while too. Hopefully you didn't send anything and it never got to where it was supposed to go or somebody else has got your stuff. I don't know. But so I'm ready to unload this stuff because I just want to get going, you know, and get on my way. And so this whole thing's happening. I'm like, you know, I feel betrayed. I just met this guy. I thought I could trust him. And he's like, no, this isn't really the guy. And so I have to get the luggage back. And because I look closer at the ticket, and I realize I'm in the wrong place, okay? This is the wrong person. And even though I was confident and unloading and ready to give somebody's, you know, unmentionables to somebody else, you know, there I was. And I guess what I want to ask you, how many times have we come to God, or what we thought was God, to worship, but we're really in the wrong place. We are not positioned, and because of our image of who God is, you see, if we don't understand the majesty, the awe of God, what are we really worshiping? And I want you to think about that. It's like, well, you know, I lift my hands, I worship God all the time. Like, do you? What is the object, what is the focus of your worship? If it's something less than who God really is, then what are you really worshiping? Let me explain it a little further. Exodus chapter 32. I've shared this in the past, but I think it warrants being shared again today. It's okay if we repeat scripture here, right? It's fine? It's good? Good. Exodus 32, and beginning in verse 1, here we have the account of the children of Israel. Remember that they've left Israel or Egypt. They're out in the desert. Moses up on the mountain having his moment with God. Leaves the kids unattended. You know, we know what happens when you leave kids unattended. They lose their mind, right? So this is kind of the scene that we set up here, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses," notice how they're talking about Moses now, "this Moses, this guy, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt," yep, horrible guy here, "we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are the gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Notice what's happening. There's a shift. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. This is a powerful, powerful image of what I believe many of us see today. The interesting part here is when they say in verse 1, "Up, make us gods," and then down in verse 4, "These are your gods," the term there being used is Elohim. Elohim. And this is God. This is a small g God. This is what you would refer to, you know, anything that's not God is God, small g. Elohim is used. But notice what happens at the end of verse 5 when Aaron says, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." The term here is YHVH. They wouldn't even spell out, but this is where they put the vowels in, and we get Yehovah or Yahweh, which is Jehovah or Yahweh, which is what we would say now. And let me be very clear. This term that's being used is explicitly used only for God, the God that we serve and worship, the Lord. So what's happening? They've taken something and they said, "Let's make gods." They're giving gods. They said, "Let us make gods that have gone before us, that brought us up out of Egypt." They're taking God, right, Jehovah, Yahweh, and they've reduced him to Elohim. And so they build this calf, this golden calf, this idol, and then what does he say? What does he do? What happens? He offers burnt offerings, and they build an altar before this golden calf, right? And then what do they do? It says, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to Yahweh," who's now been reduced from Almighty to this man-made object sitting in front of them. They took God and made him approachable in their sin. He is no longer Jehovah, but he is this image, he is this thing now in front of them, whereas it says that they could sit down and eat and drink, and they rose up to play, which play is not playing on a seesaw, okay? And how many times do we find ourselves, if we're honest, reducing God to something less than what he truly is? We want to reduce God to someone, to a God that's approachable even with our sin. And you see that all over the world today. You see that, sadly, in many churches today, where God has been reduced to something comfortable or something convenient, something less than holy. Developing a proper image of who God is can, in a moment, remove every burden that this world might place on us. You see, knowing who God is, it's freeing and refreshing. When you see the majesty, you begin to, we can't fully comprehend in our human mind, but we can get an image that how great and how big God is. It really makes a lot of things, other things seem small, doesn't it? When we know who God is, it removes every burden that this world might place on us. But, here it comes. In that instance, there is also one enormous single burden of eternity that presses down upon us with such a force that it makes the previous burdens we were dealing with in this world seem like a feather. That burden that I'm speaking of is our obligation to that God. To the perfection that he demands. To the holiness that he requires. Some of you are just starting to scratch the surface right now, and you're starting to think about it. And you're like, oh my goodness. And see, this obligation and understanding what this means, when we understand how holy and how awesome our God is that we serve, it results in, one, a love for him stemming from every part of our being. When we get an image or just a glimpse of who God really is, we're like, oh my goodness, God, you are truly amazing, and I love you. I love you. It also produces a perfect and unwavering obedience to him. Thirdly, it produces worship of him filled with awe and wonder for who he is. Our response is naturally, when we focus on God, not on ourselves, when our focus goes to God and we get this image, our natural response as one of creation is, God, I worship you. I worship you. The more we really understand God and how awesome he is, here it comes, brings us over and over again to how helpless we truly were before Jesus came on the scene. You see, this is why the gospel message should mean everything to us. When we understand what we truly deserved, we then say, God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for the good news of the gospel, which is Jesus coming and making a way for us to approach an awesome God. You see, first we have to ascertain the right image of a holy God. Then we realize the crushing burden of what a holy God demands. And then, and only then, can we truly realize the gift of beauty for ashes, or the oil of joy, or a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and what it means to be called righteous. A view of God that is below who he is ultimately destroys the gospel's beauty and power. If we truly, 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 truly believe and know who God is, how does that affect our sharing the gospel with other people? When we recognize what we were saved from, when we recognize the gift, Wouldn't we want to share it with someone else? But again, it all comes with this view of who God is. So what is God like? Tozer says this. He says, "For while the name of God is secret and his essential nature incomprehensible, he, in condescending love, has by revelation declared certain things to be true to himself, and these are what we call his attributes." God has given us pictures and images of who he is. We can see pieces or parts of God's character. And please understand, we always have to keep coming back around to what we're dealing with, right? Between up here, between our ears, this hunk of meat that sits in our head called our brain. It may be surprising to some of you, but there are some limits to it, okay? There are some limits. And so when we're trying to understand God, understand that there are some limitations here and here, okay? You're not going to wrap your head around it all. Tozer also says, "An attribute of God is whatever God has in any way revealed as being true of himself." And this is really what this study is going to be all about. We're going to go attribute by attribute each week, and we're going to dial in on these things. And we're going to, by God's grace, and I hope you're open and you spend some time studying and just listening. But we just want your view of God to just grow exponentially, because it changes everything. It changes everything. That situation that you just don't have a clue how it's going to work out, when you recognize the God that you serve, you recognize that anything is possible. When that you struggle with whatever image of yourself or where you're at or you're displeased, when you recognize how big and awesome and great your God is, that he loved you enough to send his son, everything changes for you. When you take time to dwell on the majesty and the holiness and the awesomeness of who God is, that will change your worship time forever. It's not just about the songs that we sing. It's about how we live our life as in an act of worship constantly. And when we come here on a Friday, we don't just come in and say, "Hey, yeah, these are some good tunes. You know, let's do it. The cajon was on today. They were a little pitchy in the one song." No, you're just singing with all your heart. You're singing. You're pouring out your praise and your worship to God. Why? Because he deserves it. If your life, your personal time with God, if it's dry and dead, my suggestion to you is that you redial and get your focus right on who God is, because that will change all of that. Who God is, his attributes. In the weeks ahead, we're going to talk about two types of attributes that we see in God. And there's many titles, many names, but we're going to call them the attributes of greatness and the attributes of goodness. Attributes of greatness are what we would call incommunicable, okay? And these are attributes that God possesses exclusively. There are some things that we cannot possess. I shattered one person's thing today, right there. We cannot be like God, okay? We can't. There are some things that we cannot do. All right, some examples include God's sovereignty, God's omnipotence, God's omniscience, and God's omnipresence, okay? If you'd like to know what those are, we'll touch on it briefly in this message in a minute. Those are attributes of greatness. Attributes of goodness are communicable. These are the attributes which God possesses to a perfect degree and which may be found to a limited degree in mankind, okay? Examples are like God's wisdom, holiness, mercy, grace, justice. Do we have wisdom? Some of us, yes. Some of y'all, we'll get you there, okay? In the meantime, just look at me and smile and nobody will know it's you, all right? We're working towards that, all right? We need wisdom. I'm not sure why my wife's laughing over here. Wisdom, we do possess it. Love, do you love somebody? Do you love somebody more than yourself? I hope so. Your spouse, your kids, the guy that bags your groceries at the store, somebody you need to love more than yourself. That is an attribute, that is a shadow of God. You don't learn that. Who wants to sacrifice themselves for somebody else? We're selfish people. I am. I was the youngest. I love it being about me. And I have to fight this all the time, even with my kids. Like, no, I want the last bite of cheesecake. I don't want to share it with my kids. But then I remember I'm a dad and people are watching, so I'm like, go ahead and have it. God bless you. Thanks. Don't choke. You can't ever say I'm not honest with you, okay? So just keep praying for your pastor and we'll get there. But no, that's, you know, we love people. And if I share my cheesecake with you, I promise I love you, okay? I promise. So over the next few months, we're going to study through this together. I'm just going to run through these. And this is going to be, my prayers are left wanting, okay? So I'm not going into detail on any of these because that's what we're going to spend the next so many weeks doing, all right? So the first one is that God is sovereign, all right? God is sovereign. God rules over everything. God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing, okay? So whatever you think you're hiding, this is funny to me. God is all-knowing, right? It's like, well, I'm just not really where I should be, so I haven't been to church in the last month and a half. I'm not sure whose voice this is, but listen, God, you're not fooling anybody. God's like, oh, well, where's so-and-so? Where's Bob? I haven't seen him for a while. God's not scratching his head. He's watching you doing whatever stuff you're doing in secret. You're not fooling anybody. You're not fooling God. So get your rear end in church and just sit here because this is the best place for you if you're struggling. Amen? All right, let's move on. God is omnipresent. He is always everywhere. Even when you go to the bathroom, God's there. It's cool. You don't got to worry about it. But he's everywhere. He sees everything. He knows everything. Just accept it. It's all right. God is holy. All right? God is infinitely, unchangeably perfect. Okay? He's holy. God is love. God infinitely, unchangeably, unchangingly loves us. God is merciful. He is infinitely and unchangeably compassionate and kind. Some of you all need to know this. God loves you. He is holy, and there is a price for sin. That's why we need Jesus. Now, when we have Jesus, that's not a free get-out-of-jail-free card, so you can just do whatever you want to do and then cash it in. Oh, get out of jail. No, it's because when we have a heart for God, we want to do what's right. And on the occasion when we make mistakes, Jesus is there, he's covering us, and he's got us, okay? It's like, you guys like trapeze people in the circus and stuff? I love those people. I think they're really cool. What do they have below them? Yeah, they need to. They should have a net. Some people are crazy and don't have one. They have a net. To me, in my world, Jesus is our net, okay? Now, again, he gives us the strength, and we need him, but when we fall, he's there to catch us. But some of you think you're in a trampoline park or something, at like, you know, the place where they have all the trampolines, and you bounce from one to one, and some of you all just saw bouncing on your net all day long because, well, Jesus is here, so why do I need to do what's right and stay up on the trapeze? No, we're supposed to do what's right. You understand? Okay, don't bounce on Jesus all day. Bounce when you need it, but then you keep going, all right? Are we clear? Does that make sense to somebody? God is merciful. God is gracious. God is infinitely inclined to spare the guilty. God is wise. He is full of perfect, unchanging wisdom. God is just. He is infinitely, unchangeably perfect in all he does. God is eternal. He is without a beginning or end. God is infinite. He is unlimited and unlimitable. God is incomprehensible. We can never understand fully who he is, but we shouldn't stop trying for the rest of the time we're here on this earth. That's right. What does that mean? If you think that you've arrived, there are people sometimes that you ask, they're like, yeah, Well, that's great. I'm glad you have that knowledge. But if you think that you've got it, this is what I was talking about earlier. I'm not talking about just being able to explain your salvation or explain who God is in 2 seconds or less. That's good to have, but that's not who God is. Never stop pressing in and learning about God, because you'll never get to the end. Lastly, God is immutable. God never changes. So why should we desire to know God? The closer we draw towards God, the clearer our areas of sin become. We should know God because it builds us up. We should desire to know God because we want to live life to the fullest. Whatever it is you're looking for, God has the answer. All right? Regardless of what the world's saying, God has the answer. We desire to know God because we will discover a powerfully rich prayer life. We desire to know God because we will be able to easily identify things eternal from things that are temporary. And this is, again, a big one. We waste so much time on things that just don't matter. That just don't matter. And to be able to separate what's eternal from what's temporary, you need to know who God is. We need to desire to know God so that we will know that God is pleased with us. How do we know God? First, you can show up here on Fridays. You're going to get to worship God with your brothers and sisters. You're going to be encouraged through that. You're going to hear the word preached. It's going to be amazing and it's going to be good. And I would encourage you, I'm just going to say that I've lived in Kuwait almost a decade now. And a lot of our approaches to church they're not good. It's like, yeah, if my alarm happens to go off and I can get breakfast and I kick my car and it starts and, you know, I drive and just happen to get out at the right place and happen to push the right floor and I stumble in here on a Friday morning, then yeah, I'll go. I'll be there. Let me just challenge you today to make a commitment over the next few months during this series to be here every single Friday. Unless you're out of country, but hey, we're online too. You can hear the message on a podcast or whatever. You can still listen. But let me just, I'm getting off track just a bit, but I need to say this. You need to be here. There are people sitting next to you that need you here. You might say one thing to somebody. How many times do we come saying, God, what can I do today? How can I encourage somebody today? Who needs to hear from me what you put out of my heart today? You understand that? I can't get what you have when you're sitting at home watching online or listening to a podcast. That's great if you can't be here. There's legitimate reasons. I understand that. But you are valuable to this body. You have gifts that God has given you. You've got things in you that people need in this place. There are hurting people. Don't believe all the faces that you see and the smiles. Have you talked to that person next to you? That person that sits on the couch just kind of by themselves and not really talking to anybody. Have you stopped and said, hey, how can I pray for you? Have you asked God, what's wrong? Can I say something to that person? Maybe just a hello. But you got to be here to do that. Start making attending church a priority rather than an obligation. Because when you roll in here and it's like, oh, well, here we go again. I'm here. Who wants to be around that? But if you come in, God, what do you have for me here today? What is my assignment here today? Who do I need to speak to today? And I'm going to say hi to every single person in this place till I find them. Yeah? We need to get that way. Show up here. We know God as we delve deeper into his word. We know God by enjoying our relationship with him. It's not a burden, folks. It should be, you should enjoy your time with God. And lastly, we need to learn, the way we know God is we need to learn beauty in silence. Stop talking in your prayer time and start listening. and he'll speak to you. He'll speak to you. Would you stand? We're going to sing this Holy God song one more time, and then we'll close in prayer. And I want you, before we start, I just want you, start here, start now. Okay? I know we're about to wrap up, and you got 1,000 things to do as soon as you walk through that door. But you're in here right now for these next few moments, and I want you just to think about who God is. I want you to think about every single word in this song, and I want you to move it from here in your head down to here in your heart. Okay? Let's worship our holy God. You are truly the one and the only. Lord, we have been satisfied with anything less than who you are. Lord, we ask you to forgive us. God, I pray that as we just focus in and the study of who you are, Lord God, that you would give us an appetite for the things that are holy. God, that we would become dissatisfied with the things of this world because they don't measure up. They leave us wanting. God, I pray for each person here in this place today. And Lord, I know that we're all in different places, God, but I pray that we will spend time focusing on you and just who you are. God, that we would just shelve some of our wants and desires for our own personal life or our needs even. But God, that we would just focus on you and you alone. Lord, it's not about just what we can get. God, but we want to know your heart. God, stir our hearts, Father. Stir our hearts. Lord, raise that desire, Lord, to go deep into your word. Lord, to spend time with you, that it's not something that we approach, Lord, begrudgingly, God, but that we approach, Lord, with expectation and excitement as we prepare to meet you. God, we know you never leave us or forsake us, and you're with us always, Lord God, but God, I pray that throughout our day, we oftentimes are just putting our mind back, our thoughts back on you. God, move us from where we are, Lord, to where you want us to be. Draw us, Lord, by your Spirit into a deeper, closer relationship with you. God, let us move from our heads to our heart. Of what we know of you. We don't want to just know about you. We want to know you. We want to know who you are. Lord, we want to have a personal encounter and relationship with you. Because God, then we don't have to follow a script when we share the good news. Because we're just simply telling somebody of the amazing person of who our God is. Help us, Lord. Give us the hunger that we lack to go deeper. And God, I pray that we hear about amazing testimonies and stories of what you will do and what you are going to do during this series. God, that people will be able to testify and say, God brought me closer. God showed me this. My relationship with God is closer than it's ever been and deeper than I ever knew possible. God, I pray that every time we step foot into this place, and God, every time we open our mouth in song, that we do not open our mouth or let a word pass through our lips that is not focused solely and 100% on you. Give us a heart of worship together. God, we thank you for the body of Christ and that we are not in this alone, but that you give us each other to spur each other on. God, that we are able to go deeper, not just individually, but as a body, as the local body of CIC, of Crossroad International Church. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for this message, and I thank you that we are changed because of it. In Jesus' name.